This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Emmanuel. Amen. Several years ago, a friend of mine was on a flight heading back to St. Louis. He was seated next to a middle-aged couple. And after several minutes of silence, they started a discussion about the weather and so on and so forth. But eventually, this couple asked my friend what he did for a living. My friend told them that he was a professor at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. And at that point, the conversation became very interesting. You see, this couple confessed that they were agnostics. Now, that word agnostic means no knowledge. So, those who call themselves agnostics believe that we can have no knowledge of God. And so, agnostics confess that God may exist or he may not exist, but we have no way of knowing either way. Well, my friend then said to them, "You know, if there is a God, wouldn't it be wonderful if he would simply make himself known to us?" The couple was silent for a moment, and then the husband responded, "Well, if God did that, we'd have to stop being agnostics." Then, with a loving smile on his face, my friend said, "Well, I have news for you. God has made himself known to us. God has come into this world in person." Tonight is Christmas Eve. Tonight, we celebrate the fact that God himself came into the world when he was born of the Virgin Mary. In our gospel reading from Matthew, we heard how the angel told Joseph that he didn't have to divorce his fiancée because she had not been unfaithful to him as Joseph had suspected. Instead, Mary was still a virgin because the baby in her womb was conceived by a miracle of the Holy Spirit. However, of course, there's more to the story. You see, the baby conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary did not begin his existence at his conception. You see, the baby in Mary's womb was none other than the Son of God, the one eternal God, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Matthew explains this when he writes these words: "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us." You see, that word Emmanuel is a Hebrew word, and it means God with us. Now, the Apostle Matthew quoted from the prophet Isaiah. You heard that reading just moments ago. And what's amazing is that Isaiah wrote about the birth of Jesus 800 years before it even happened. You could say that the birth of Jesus is actually the focus of the entire Old Testament. For instance, at this point I'd like to bring you back all the way to the beginning of the book of Genesis. Someone might say, "But wait a minute, Pastor, it's Christmas Eve. Why do you want to bring us back to Genesis?" Well, one problem in our culture is that many people, even many Christians, separate and isolate Christmas from the rest of the Christian faith. They don't realize that Christmas has no meaning unless you see how it fits in with the entire plan of salvation that God began in the book of Genesis. For example, we hear about Jesus for the first time in Genesis chapter 3. But let me give you a little historical background. In Genesis chapters 1 and 2, we learn how God created the universe and all life in just 6 ordinary days. And the highest point of God's creation were the first two humans, Adam and Eve. They and their descendants, that's you and I, We were meant to live in God's love forever in a world without suffering or death. But as you know, that wonderful plan came crashing down when one of the angels God had created decided that he wanted to be like God and decide for himself what is good and what is evil. This rebellious angel, known as the devil or Satan, he tempted Adam and Eve to make the same evil choice. And sadly, they did. And the moment they made that evil choice, they experienced spiritual death. In other words, they no longer loved God and they no longer trusted Him. And what's really tragic is that same sinful nature was passed on to every human being descended from them. And that's why you and I were also conceived as people who are spiritually dead. You see, the Bible teaches that by nature we do not love God and we do not trust Him. All we have to do is look at our own lives to see that this is true. We so often choose for ourselves what is good and what is evil, and we thereby rebel against God's loving plan for our lives. Now, God could have turned His back on us. He could have allowed us to suffer the judgment we deserve, but He didn't. Instead, if you read Genesis chapter 3, you will see that immediately after Adam and Eve rejected Him, God put into action a plan to save Adam and Eve and all their descendants from sin and death and the devil. In fact, listen to what God said to the devil. In Genesis 3, verse 15, it says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Here God says that He will send a Savior into the world who will utterly crush Satan, even though Satan will try to strike him. That heel that Satan tries to bite will crush his head. Now, what is God teaching us here? Well, simply put, God said that the woman will give birth to a male child who will crush the power of the devil. What's going on here? Well, first of all, notice God never mentions a human father, does He? He only mentions the woman. So from the very get-go, we see that the birth of this male child will be the result of a miracle. A woman conceiving a baby without a human father. Secondly, God also says that this male child will crush the power of the devil. Now, we know from the rest of Scripture that humans are far weaker than angels. There's no way a mere human could crush the power of the devil. In fact, the only one who has enough power to crush the devil is God Himself. Therefore, this male child must be God Himself. God in human flesh. But there's still one more question. How will this male child crush the power of the devil? Not in the way we would normally think. I'm sure Adam and Eve expected that this male child would come into the world like Superman and wipe out the devil with his almighty power, but that's not the way it worked at all. In fact, a few verses later, in Genesis 3, verse 21, we're told that God clothed Adam and Eve with animal skin. Don't just jump over that verse. There's something very important going on there. Remember, when Adam and Eve sinned, they realized, oh, we have become God's enemies. So they tried to hide from God by covering themselves with leaves. But that didn't work, because you can't hide from God. God came looking for them and found them and then let them know what the consequences of their sin would be. But then He made that promise of a Savior. And after the promise of a Savior, God Himself clothed Adam and Eve. He covered their sin, but He didn't use leaves. Instead, he used animal skin. An animal had to die. Blood had to be shed. The first sacrifice. This was the first picture of how God would crush the power of the devil. My friends, God would crush the power of the devil by sacrificing himself in our place of damnation, so that the devil can no longer accuse us, so that we could be forgiven and clothed with his own holiness and righteousness. My friends, that is why the angel told Joseph to name the baby Jesus. Because Jesus is a Hebrew name that means God saves. And from what does Jesus save us? Well, as Matthew writes, he saves us from our sins. Jesus was born to die for us. My friends, that's what Christmas is all about. Christmas makes absolutely no sense unless you understand how it is the fulfillment of that promise made all the way back in the book of Genesis. Christmas makes absolutely no sense unless you understand that the entire reason God was born of the Virgin Mary was so that he might grow up to be nailed to a cross for you and for me. That's what Christmas is all about. And now we're ready to think about tonight's sermon title: Emmanuel, God with us and for us. First of all, we have to remember that the baby who was born of the Virgin Mary was indeed God in human flesh. You know, so many people today celebrate Christmas, and yet they have no clue why they're celebrating. For instance, many people in our culture think of Jesus as a good person or a great moral teacher. But that's not what makes Jesus special. Think about it. How could a mere man save us from our sins? Only God can do that. That's why we must remember that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Now, I'm not denying that Jesus was a good person. In fact, Jesus was and is the only person ever that was sinless. Nor am I denying that Jesus was a great moral teacher. In fact, he was more than that. Jesus was God himself, who teaches us what is good and what is evil through his word, so that we can live according to his loving plan for our lives. However, my friends, the message of Christmas reminds us that we need much more than God's teaching about what is right and what is wrong. So many people think Christianity is just one of many moral religions. You know, Christianity shows you how to live a good life. But, my friends, there is so much more to Christianity than that. Think about it. What good does it do for God to tell us what's right and what's wrong if we sinners don't obey him? And the fact is, we don't. We have all done the evil he forbids. We have all failed to do the good he expects of us. We have rebelled against God with our desires, with our thoughts, with our words, with our deeds. My friends, if God came to earth only to teach us what's good and what's evil and nothing more than that, then we would have no hope. And Christmas would be the most depressing holiday of the year. We don't need a great moral teacher. We need a Savior. And that's why Christmas is not a depressing holiday. In fact, Christmas is a time of joy and comfort and hope for us sinners who deserve nothing from God but his wrath. Christmas reminds us that God is not only with us, but even more, Christmas reminds us that God is for us. Jesus came into the world to save us from our sins. Just think about it. Jesus was born as a sinless human to make up for our sinful births. Jesus lived a perfect, holy life to make up for our sinful lives. Jesus died on the cross in our place of damnation so that we would not have to suffer that judgment. Jesus conquered death for us by his own resurrection to save us from a fate that we never could have saved ourselves from. And one day, Jesus will return in power and glory. He will raise our bodies from the dust of the ground. We will be then sinless and perfect. And God will then usher us into the new creation that he will give to us on that day. And we will live forever in his love. My friends, Christmas is a time of love and hope and joy and mercy because Jesus is Emmanuel, not only God with us, but also God for us. My friends, you can rejoice tonight because your sins are forgiven. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with all the wonderful presents that we give each other. You know, Americans spend a lot of money on Christmas, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But the problem is that sometimes we make the mistake of making that the point of Christmas. It wasn't that long ago I talked with a fellow pastor who's part of the Lutheran Church of Kenya, a church body in Africa with whom we are in fellowship. And he was telling me about how a lot of the people there have nothing. Absolutely nothing. They live in shacks. They sometimes go 2-3 days without food. They maybe have 1 or 2 pairs of clothes to wear, if that. And if they get sick, they don't have a hospital to go to. They just have to pray that their illness isn't life-threatening. They have none of the things, none of the basics that we take for granted. And yet, they celebrate with all their heart, joy, mind, and strength during Christmas. Why do they celebrate with so much joy during Christmas? Because they know what it's all about. Their sins are forgiven. My friends, Christmas is a time of love and joy and hope and mercy because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us and for us. Because of Jesus, your many sins are forgiven. Because of Jesus, you are now free to say no to sin and yes to God's loving plan for our lives. We heard about that in our epistle reading. But the reason we do that is not in order to somehow earn God's mercy, because we can't do that anyway. The reason we Christians say no to sin and yes to God's loving plan for our lives is that our hearts have been made new through the Christmas gospel. Through the knowledge that we are forgiven because of Jesus, we now are able to love God and trust Him again. And because we love God and trust Him again, we know that His plan for us is what is best. And so in response to His love for us, we strive to say no to sin and yes to God's loving plan for our life. Saying no to the sin that hurts us and others and yes to all the good things that God wants us to do. Reaching out to one another with love and kindness and mercy. And of course, the greatest thing, telling others about Jesus and who He is and what He's done for us. My friends, Jesus, our Emmanuel, clothed us with His own holiness when He adopted us as His own in the waters of holy baptism. Jesus, our Emmanuel, continues to speak to us today through Holy Scripture and through the preaching and teaching of His Word. In fact, Jesus, our Emmanuel, comes to us tonight. He comes to us tonight in this holy meal where He gives us His very body and blood to eat and to drink. Tonight, Jesus, your Emmanuel, says, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Take, drink. This is my blood shed for you." You see, that's why there's no reason to be an agnostic. God has made Himself known to us, and He continues to do that every day, every moment. Through His Word, and through the gifts of His church. In closing, to top off this Christmas Eve, I'd like you to listen carefully as I read the final stanza of our sermon hymn. There are so many Christmas hymns I love, but O Little Town of Bethlehem is one of my favorites, primarily because of this final stanza, which is basically a prayer, a Christmas prayer. So as I read this fourth stanza of our sermon hymn to you, I want you to make this your Christmas prayer. In fact, I want this to make your prayer, make this your prayer every day of the year. Here are those words. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen. Now,